Springs is already through the other side.
So you've done this resolution from the last meeting.
Six adjourn meeting of NCSD and now come to order. All rise for flags to be please.
Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Short agenda tonight. First thing we need to do is we start the case, right? We'll have a roll call for attendance. Maybe just call out the directors and the members.
Rick Simon.
Here.
Mr. Kinnear. Mendoza.
Here.
Rick Small.
Here.
Rick Blair. Here.
Rick
Fairbanks.
Here.
All members are present. The time for the meeting started at 5:07. Item number two. Well, let's do a public comment first. Is there any public comments on items that aren't on the agenda tonight? Anything other than And what we're here talking about, Cypress Creek.
Oh, okay.
There's discussion going on there. Second?
Yeah.
Public comments period is closed. Item number three on the board administration, Cypress Creek Golf Course Project, Environmental Impact Report. Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, the committee of Mr. Simon, Director Blair, met and reviewed the letter, the proposed letter, to go to the county, and they had basically a couple of minor comments on the comments on number one. Additional one was added that the project was well designed and would be an asset to the whole area. However, water availability is the primary issue. On number seven, the word, the fight, original says the following hydraulic studies, the studies word that we changed to reports. Number 13, water runs uphill towards money was a statement made in front of public, but we request that item be deleted. Under conclusions, proposed additional studies in has been changed to ends for the typograph error. And then there is some discussion of adding item number six, which would read that seawater desalination appears to have great practicality as a new technology. Technologies are in process of development. The cost breakthrough would solve many problems. That is optional if you want to be put in there or not.
How's this suggestion by the subcommittee?
Yes. Those are the primary changes. But the subcommittee felt that the rest of the letter was fairly sound. If the board has two last pages, one of them they'd be selling in their own bag.
Okay, those changes appear to be relatively minor and agreeable.
That's the biggest reason. It says there are water length issues in the numbers.
That's the number five.
Okay.
Pardon?
I mean, let's...
Well, CEQA does not require getting into legal issues. And legal counsel can expand on that, but the California Environmental Quality Act does not get into the legal aspects of it. They look at the environmental aspects. And even though it's not in the requirements of CEQA, there are water right issues that are there, and felt that the position should bring them up, saying that there are water right issues, so that the applicant that is not aware, I mean, down the road, one that says two more of the mentioned is water right issues.
Just calling for your attention?
Yes, sir.
Probably do know that it's trying to see how it affects a whole lot of dimension. Subcommittee members, would you like to add kind of the direction came from what Mr. Stone's mentioned? Those changes are obviously your recommendations, so you're in agreement with them. Is that correct? You and Al had time to read on this before the meeting.
Yeah.
Do you
see anything you
want to
add in
there? No, nothing that I can see.
Does it say anything in here anywhere that you are actually favoring the project?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the first thing is that the project is well designed with an asset to the former of the
Is there public comments or questions?
Case Dobie, all season flowers. Is item number 14 still in there?
Number 14. But if you have the old draft?
I have the old draft. I mean, it says that the Centenary Valley portion of the Centenary Basin is in a state of overdraft. That groundwater from this basin is moving into the westerly portion of the Fulton sub area?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It still is there. Is it a fact that the Santa Maria Valley portion is in a state of overdraft, or is it a conclusion of certain reports?
Conclusion of certain reports.
It doesn't state it like that. There it states it. I think it's a fact.
The EIR states things to the contrary, but I've stated those facts as well.
Shouldn't it be pointed out then that the NCSD doesn't mean that the NCSD believes or the SUD based upon that, but not stated as a fact, because in effect it is not a known fact?
We can say it is believed to be in a state of overdraft. That might be
really important. Yeah, the Santa Maria County Water Agency, Santa Maria Valley Water Resource Report, April 1994, is item number E under 8, states, and this is Santa Barbara County Water Agency that made the study, states that the Santa Maria Basin has 20,000 people over there.
They've made studies to state that, including this EIR mentions the westerly flow.
The westerly flow is mentioned indeed, but not the fact that it's in a state of overdraft. But just as a general comment on still everything that remains in the letter, if I would be receiving that letter, and it's good that it states the beginning that the NCSD believes it's a good project, but right after that, it only brings things to the foreground, at least the majority of them, where it still states that, well, it doesn't like it because of a number of reasons. So I would still, if I would get a letter like this, I wouldn't really feel that the NCSD is so much for this project. And so I wondered if somebody else receives this letter, really would get a different opinion.
I feel this is staff's recommendation based on their review of the information
the data.
And that's NCSD's position. That's the position it's offered at this time.
Then if that's NCSD's position, that's fine. But
that's
just like I said,
right now.
If I would receive a letter like that with the minor changes that have been made, I would still be very worried as a director on the board who is for it, that I think there's still more things in this letter that really gives a negative impression, and I think it can be easily used by somebody who wants to kill the project or seriously amend it. It can still be used as, while the NCSD says that they're for it, but look at all these things. It doesn't really look like it.
I take exception to that case.
Think so?
Yeah, I really do, because we did go over it quite thoroughly, and in the view that we took of it, it is neither a positive nor is it a negative. It's kind of an in-between type, and it's determined to be that way because we had hoped to eliminate a lot of discussion and a lot of argumentative statements and so on and so forth. And we hope that will fit in that category, that will drop a lot of the argumentative statements.
Okay.
So
well, it's,
why don't you want to sit down and just figure out what the hell is.
Well, I don't think it is that easy. But
You know, you could spend days on this thing, literally, and not come up with something that's going to fit everybody's pocket. It's just an impossibility. But I think broadly it covers the needs of the district, and I think it responds to the needs of the EIR people.
Sure, but it's like, and I'll let it, after this, let it lay it to rest, but there are also certain people who are saying they are not for tax increases, they're not for tax increases, and then they're elected, and guess what's happening? There's a lot of tax increases following. The written word is much more assured sometimes than spoken word, and I can easily see this document being used by people as a sword to try to seriously amend the project or try to kill it. Because there's things in there that make it easily available to people that the NCSD is really not for it, even though they're saying it, because, they're putting all these things in. And I'll lay it to rest with that, but I seriously think that is how a lot of people are going to use it.
I don't know.
Neither do I.
I was wondering if we could comment on if there are people either for or against it or if they're not.
I'm Dennis Sullivan. I would say that there is a fairly small number of people that have not organized opposition to the project, but we still are some distance away from any formal public hearing on the project, so I can't say. We held community meetings recently, and we had about 110 people come, and they were in a workshop format so they could ask questions, and we did hear some concerns. Some of them did deal with water, the concerns with water. Actual local drawdown issues were brought up by a couple of neighboring property owners. But no one has voiced an opinion that the water resources in total are in jeopardy outside of NCSD. Can I make comments now at this point?
Sure.
That I brought up a question at the last meeting on this subject that related to the policies of NCSD as it relates to their own groundwater management. They're not a formal organization in existence, but as your policies would indicate, are you no longer increasing your well use? Have you reached a point at which you no longer will increase your pumping? Is that a fair question?
I don't know. Do we pump? We pump enough to support 2,600 customers, and that's what we pump currently. We plan to pump water that can support customers around the county.
Okay. Are you increasing your customer base?
That's my question.
Is this an issue? Are you going to increase your customer base? In other words, are you going from 2,600 to 3,000 customers or 4,000 customers or something in that neighborhood?
Trying to support the growth that's outlined in the general plan.
Okay. We also are in the general plan, and we are at a use that's described in the general plan. We do not have alteration of the general plan, nor if we sought one. But it seems to me that we're talking about an issue of whose water it is, rather than whether there will be additional water use. You're talking about continuing to serve your users within the district boundaries that is far from build-out under the existing zoning in South County Update. We are outside the district boundary, and we're trying to utilize the groundwater that's adjacent to our property and under our property to meet our needs. So I think within the district's policies, there may be an inconsistency that I think we should address at this point or at some future point. In other words, you're taking the water from the same place. So if you're saying, I shouldn't take the water, I can't conceive that you could come to the same conclusion that you can take the water.
You have a different premise than us, than me. Your premise is that you are not over debt.
No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about pumping.
It's foundational.
Okay.
It's critical to the whole argument we're trying to make.
Whether it is, the point that you're making,
because if you're exceeding safety,
okay,
then you have no historical pumping right now.
Okay, we're not talking about rights. We're talking about use. If you increase your pumping, you don't have a right to increase your pumping. You have a right to what you historically have used.
That's if it's correct.
Okay, I'm not going to be a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer.
I understand, and I'm not commenting one way. You can certainly make a fair comment or any comment. I just sort of want to bring the board back. The EIR is circulated to the district and other people on the district for comment. The CEQA guidelines 15200 specify the reasons why the district was requesting to comment on it. Okay. I'm just going through them again. I've gone through this before. Sharing expertise, disclosing agency analysis, checking for accuracy, detecting omissions, discovering public concerns, and soliciting counterproposals. That's the reason why EIR has circulated for comment, and that's the basis.
Well, you've made, you've taken it beyond the comment, and you've come up with what you consider to be mitigation measures to offset the water use.
Agency analysis.
So those were not purely in the form that they suggested. They were what you felt would be a way to mitigate the impacts of the groundwater extraction for our project.
So you're on record as saying that's outside our bounds. Is that your point?
I'm saying if you're inconsistent in your policies within the district, if you do not impose the same conditions on every user within your district, that he enter into some contractual arrangement to go through a retrofit program for your system, or that he look at an alternative to displace that water for which he's
the very reason he exists is to provide service to customers in our boundaries. We have a huge obligation. 2,600 current customers might be greater. And that's what the end of the current district boundary is. So are you saying we should cease that activity?
Well, if you're consistent in your policy, if you are consistent in your policy, you would.
What?
Absolutely, because if you're saying that the water is a finite resource and that we don't have the use of it for the 386 homes and the golf course that we're proposing, that you come along and piecemeal take an equivalent amount of water for the district, I don't see why you're not supposing or imposing the same kinds of conditions upon yourself. That's all.
What about adding something here about in 1994 they proposed that the district would be annexed to the district? Was there something there that might be favorable to that if they met our conversation with the district?
That has nothing to do with this draft EIR. The draft EIR is not a question of annexation.
Well,
it's a resources document.
It's just another way to go there to sort of use the resources. See, what you're saying to him is, and I understand what he's saying, what you're saying to him is, it's his water. You want to pump it out of his backyard and pump it into 300 or 250 houses we just allocated in downtown Napoleon. There's 134 houses going to go over here up against the foothills. And you're going to take his water and pump over there. And if we don't make this all one district, we're going to have problems with no one in other people. And I think we ought to make it like we ought to annex them in. We didn't know they were anyhow. They can help supply part of the water that we need without going out and buying much more property and dealing with another hole.
Additional wells in another
direction. We need another 840 gallon minute well, I think. That's what we're talking about. We were talking about 2 weeks ago buying somebody's property out there and sinking a well on it.
And that's something that's called the water report.
Right. So it says that's what we're planning on doing. I just don't think we can really not annex those people in and make all one district out of this and keep going down the road telling these other people you can't drill in their own backyard because it's going to affect our water when we're the people that's exporting water. I mean, maybe I might not be an attorney, but that's the way I kind of look at it, and I don't want to see it get that far down the road. That's the deal.
Yeah, the district, based on our reports, feels that the water supply on the Mesa is critical for everyone. And based on the reports done by others, they kind of indicate the basin is in a overdraft condition. I mean, including the whole basin, maybe the Rio Grande Central Valley isn't the place to go there, but I understand from people up there, some of the wells in that area are starting to drop also, even with the Lopez stuff. The district has a certain obligation, and looking at the whole Mesa, said, okay, maybe everyone on earth should manage the groundwater basin perfectly, including the second two. If the groundwater management agency is put together and determine the amount of water available, then they could allocate water for different projects if it was available. And basically, the leadership is taking the lead in trying to form a groundwater management program so it could benefit all users on the mesa. To the point where an organization come together and said, okay, you know, Project A gets so much water, Project B gets so much water, District gets so much water, Cal City gets so much water. And that's how you kind of manage the basin for everyone to use that. Unicali is going to get so much water. Anything over that, you go through some form of supplemental water, bring in here, and whoever benefits from it, pay for it. And that's the object of the plan. And so meeting your criteria, that is out. The district is, you know, I think it's a great project. So it's a woodland project. But the water issues are prominent on the mesa for everyone. And how do you spread this water, a bucket of water, so everyone can use it without emptying the bucket? Number reports, you know, that there's 17,000 acre feet of water in storage on the mesa, plus or minus 74%. You can go ahead and mine the basin. There's nothing wrong with mining the basin if you have supplemental water coming in. There was an article written, I think, in Santa Maria about the basin being drawn down, and now everybody's arguing over space in the basin to bring in supplemental water or state water.
I think you're a digit off.
170,000. Okay. Did I say 17?
Yeah.
No, 170,000.
That would be good.
Okay. Thank you for the question. Anyway, those are, you know, the concepts.
More public comments on the draft EIR? Or the letter, yeah, comment?
If I may comment on Director Blair's suggestion, I think if you would put something like that in, or along those lines, I think you'll convey a more favorable impression that the NCSE has and that the currently still is in there, because I think that I sometimes have the feeling that if everybody who says think there's an overdraft would get $1 deduction of Scott Slater's fees, then he ends up paying you guys money in the end, because it's overdraft, and it keeps coming back. I think we're going to know the draft, but I'm not saying we're absolutely not sure know the draft. That's a different thing than saying we are in the draft. And I just think that on the looks of it, this looks like Jackie Frederick said it, this letter looks like another part of the tool to make sure that the message is conveyed. We need groundwater management agency to manage this, irrelevant to what the facts are, whether it is at a certain point Mr. Newdall trying to get his annexation, which I think he finally got, and I think that was a good decision, or something like a bigger project like this. And I think a lot of times things are held hostage for the wrong reasons.
Any further board comments?
You know, I get the feeling that if we don't come up with some kind of a plan to work on conserving, I would say, the water basin rather than manage it, that this process is going to go on forever. Unless these people you guys will oppose us so much, somehow if we can't get together on these issues, we're going to be sitting forever over the same issues. And there needs to be, I think, some kind of process for these things to be discussed and agreement.
And to a certain extent, I wholeheartedly agree with you, and so do a number of other people. And you might think that we're opposing you guys on everything, and that's very far from the truth, because I think this whole the last, what is it, 6, 8, 9 months since August last year has been a very educational process for a lot of people. I think we've learned a hell of a lot about a water situation, availability of water rights, etc., etc. And I think in that sense we have become much more knowledgeable, so we can talk more intelligently about it instead of just throwing things around. But at the same time, we also came to the conclusion that groundwater management is maybe not a very good vehicle, maybe something else is. It does not mean that we're not concerned about water. If you get that impression, I then you see it wrong. Sure, we're concerned about water. Maybe we're concerned about it in a little bit different way, but we're still concerned about it. So, if we want to be willing participants in discussions and not be just perceived as naysayers. But, I mean, a process like that takes time. It's like someone in a group can attest to that. I mean, it takes a hell of a lot of time to get on top of an issue like this because there's so much to study, so much to look at. And that really takes time. And that's why going fast ahead with things like, yes, now we need debt and we need this and there's a crisis and all that kind of stuff. I think we're seeing enough reasons on our side that there is not maybe that big of a crisis. There's definitely things we should discuss. And like I say, that's what we're trying to do. Trust is a very weird thing. As an employer, I have employees in the beginning come up to me and ask me, do you trust me? And I say no. Because trust is something we earn. We don't just get.
And the other thing is, I don't want to read any things that you brought in. If it was a meeting that I was included, it was conducted by this board, part of the board or somebody.
What meeting is that?
This thing's been in the works for a hell of a long time. I mean, it's not like this just came up last night. This was in the works when I was sitting out there in the black chairs before I was in one of these chairs. And there's a definite difference of opinion on which way things are going. And I think we should try to work together. And I think we're going to have to annex those people in because they got the water. I mean, it's their water, so, and I think we're going to have to work with you. If we're not going to work with them, we're going to get into a hassle. And I know that this big-time water attorney's told people that if you get into a hassle and goes into adjudication, you can win adjudication. I don't necessarily think it's going to happen that way. If you put all your eggs in that basket, you're not going to make it. And I don't want to see us try to do that either. I don't think that is the way for the community to go, is to wind up in some sort of legal fight to get where nobody really wants. And
that's why it's so important for us to do the groundwater management agency.
The groundwater management agency is just a tool, the same thing. And unless they have representation and equal representation, it's not going to work. And that's what they're after.
Right.
I mean, it's you got to work together.
We understand that, Bob.
Okay,
we never implied to get an unequal representation.
Just going to comment that the board is getting, what we're here to do is to comment on an EIR, and we're getting away from that and get kind of the fuzzy areas of the ground map when you do that.
Okay. I've heard that the most people like the letter, heard some rumblings down here about the addition of the annexation wording. I don't know how or why we should add that, simply because we don't have an annexation proposal before us, but we have a draft EIR before us. And if they want to put together an annexation presentation here in the 24th, we're going to make a position on it. So, I don't see how that becomes a part of this right now.
The board has a letter
on this, though.
And with two back pages, one page says just number 5, one No, front page has number 6, which is the sea guy. And we took it on the board, which is good.
Which one?
D-cell's not the answer. Two communities in this area have stuck with D-cell, Santa Barbara and Morro Bay, and they're both dead horses. They got hung around their neck. If they needed one of their people, can really pay for it.
Well, if we can't find something else, though, Bob...
We got 20,000 acre-feet of state water sitting up there that the county wants to sell to somebody else just for starters. That may not be a horse we can't ride, but it's a horse we can go out there and it's Twitchell Dam. I mean, there's a lot of things before you get sucked into one of these things.
The seawater desalination, I'm just, it can go or stay as far as I'm concerned. I don't think it's what's the main requirements of the draft BIR. Front end board. If you want to be real specific, it stays in it, gamelized if it goes away.
They
know already.
It was put in just as something else. We're talking about a lot of programs that might bring additional water. This is one of them that might bring it. It was put in there for no other reason other than that. A little filler, hey, let's go. We've got other ways to go, too. So that was the intent of it.
Is everyone comfortable with its conclusion?
The total conclusion of that?
Well, the item 6, that seawater desal clause. I'm just talking about that for a second.
Well, are they interested?
If there's no objection to it, just leave it in. If there's an objection, we'll take it out. So
Any further public comments? We heard the proposed wording changes. Item number 1 on the comments is new. Project of role design of the assets in the primary area. Or the large area is a primary issue. That was added. At the recommendation of Mr. Snyder at the last meeting, changed studies to reports on item 8 because it's pointed out that one of the goals and was a review of the studies. That was been an addition of the seawater desalination as a possibility of the project and water source.
And the previous comment about water runs uphill for the moment.
Right. That was said as a meeting, but that didn't provide a whole lot, so that was struck. That's a summary of about 4 or 5 changes that were made. Any other questions or comment on that change? All right, I'll bring it back to the board then. I entertain a motion that we approve the letter in its modified format. Did you want to add anything before we do that?
I so moved.
Okay, I have a motion by Director Simon. Do I have a second?
That's up.
And a second by Director Mendoza. All those in favor of approving the letter in its modified format as I've outlined, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, no one is opposed. Motion is passed unanimously. The next thing is director's comments. Director's comments, you'd like to make at this time?
I just want to make it very clear that I am in favor of this project. Hopefully we're not doing anything
that make a comment on it, you can switch the names. I think it looks like the opening statement that Bill Clinton says he likes Bob Dole and then shooting him down. And you can switch the names, but I mean, that's the way I think this letter reads.
I'm not really typical
either. Bob Dole saying, I really like Bill Clinton, I think he's an asset for the United States, and then he gives all these reasons.
Okay, what? This is the director's comment, so I'm going to get the public
comment.
I'm
sorry.
I'm
still already have to back a nomination.
Are there any,
anyone on the record that she was in favor of the project, or she hoped that the letter didn't hurt her? Any other director's comments?
I hope this project succeeds and committed to the kind of process. But I want these concerns to be noted. And I'm really concerned that a lot of this is speculation, not based on fact. I'm trying to, but at this point, that large cloud-based factual, what have you learned about how much is out there? But I hope it succeeds and that these considerations be taken seriously, and maybe out of this process will come some kind of an organization that can involve himself in trying to protect the groundwater that possibly needs to be out of the treatment.
Any other board comments?
I'd just like to also make a positive statement about it. I live in Black Lake, which is very similar to what this is designed for, and I can tell you that it's a magnificent way to live, and I think the people that move into it are going to enjoy it tremendously. I hope we can settle all of the problems or any of the problems that arise. None of them are there to be into perpetuity. They're there simply because they happen to be in the way at this particular moment, and I'm sure if we use the proper procedures, I'm sure we can work around them. End of statement.
Is this an indication that we're going to be running open to the
frequently? Well, anything that the county sends us, we're requesting us to respond to.
Yeah, we're not, it's not, I guess, mandatory.
No, always, we bring it to the board.
We've always asked for that opinion.
Well, we haven't, I don't recall, really responded to the prior treaties.
There was a little one above the board on the south of the Woodland project. I mentioned to the board. The county is saying, you know,
more and more.
I think you're aware of the situation, so we want to get into some of it.
And one of the problems from the county did all the work on that, but they really didn't have much response at all. It wasn't right. It was there, but not very great.
That's what I got out of the game.
Looks like it's kind of vaguely by through.
Okay. Public comments.
No.
Any public comments?
I just state by my earlier statement that I think if you put this to a vote or an opinion poll and let somebody read the letter, I think it will be very, very hard-pressed to find people who think if they haven't heard the individual comments of the directors afterwards that will say that it looks like NCSD is really for this project. That's the first thing for reason.
Any other public comments?
Yes, I kind of take this as a notice for me to take action to protect your make sure that I follow the legal rules in order to protect water rights. And so we're probably, if we are denied, we'll go into some agricultural use and move that recent effort to the year one day for the year so that we come back over time, we'll be in a position to argue that we can have a little basis for that kind of. The other comment I'd like to make is that when the county gets in the gets to the point where we're going to do an EIR, to send out a notice of preparation, which you respond, and some of the same issues were raised at that time. I would sense that for this board to be follow-up with my earlier comments, that you'll be consistent in that you will come up for every project, whether it's within the boundaries of your district or not, that you will have a similar set of recommended mitigation measures, such as we have a subdivision here of 101 units. There'll be a, I would assume there'll be an EIR required of that, and in their comments, request for comments from you, they'll be similarly responding.
Well, if you're getting from Mubon has a retrofit because he didn't bring any water into the district. If, like, say, you came into the district, you would bring water into the district. I believe that's the difference in that part. You know, why Mubon had the retrofit? Because there was no, he didn't have any well or he didn't have anything under his ground that was going to add to the water supply. So that's why. That's what we do. Yeah, I mean, that's, and it was a reason to get him past that guy in the school, too.
Okay, are there any other public comments? Okay, well, if not, then it means adjourned. Thank you for attending.
World's record. Here. Therefore, they get a curious effect to them. I think we should pass a gate on Saturday. The sewer rate charges based on the Napoleon division will go from $16 to $0.75 this year and basically increase approximately 5% a year up to the year 2000, which would be about $20.92. The Black Lake division we'll get a shot of transferring from the water fund, Black Lake Water Fund to the Black Lake Sewer Fund, approximately $80,000 to supplement the increase. Otherwise, we initially talked about going from $15 up to $29. But by doing that and indicating that the first 2 years, instead of a 5% increase, we're looking at probably a 10% increase in connections because of the activity going on out there. So therefore, the rate is gradually increasing to about 16 to 19 to 23 to 27 up to 29. And that basically the whole, it looks like about 20% the first 3 years and kicking off. The capacity chart, what we're talking about is that presently this will be, and then the water capacity will jump up to $2,789, and the sewer will drop from $3,500 down to $2,086. And legal counsel has written, I think, a memo to the board talking about the fee structure and within the code sections and why these fees have to be charged at a reasonable rate and can't overcharge customers. Any questions that the board has, legal counsel wants to expand on.
We have an impact study on what will happen to the 150 homes that are scheduled for Black Lake to be constructed and moved into all of the fall by the end of 1997. How will that impact on the sewer fees?
That had been calculated in here. Instead of using 5%, you use 10%. So basically, all those homes will come in the next 2 years.
So they're in the mix.
Right. And then we would probably look at it probably the third year and see how we're doing. I doubt there's anything else. If we collect a lot more money, especially in Black Lake, we would probably reduce this 3 years this area. But Black Lake needs quite an infusion of funds because of the system out there.
I'm not
going to
say it.
I'm
going
to say it. The main thing I don't like about this is we're lowering people's sewer.
Yes.
We're going to raise people's rates out there, nickels and dimes during the month, but we're going to give all these developers a $1,500 rebate. That, to me, doesn't make sense. they're just going to stick that $1,500 in their pocket, among other things. It's sure not going to get passed on to their own building.
Can we hear the reasoning for the reduction?
Well, basically, you have to understand, this whole system is based on fixed costs and operational costs. Okay. All the operational costs are in your water rates. The variable cost. Okay, pumping, you've got more people coming in, you pump more water, therefore it's based on the water rates, and therefore you charge more water, you're pumping more water, and therefore it offsets those costs. The fixed rates, basically your capacity fees, go into a reserve fund for capital improvements in the project to support the development. And in either case, no matter what fee you charge, the California government code requires that they are equitable and prudent, and you can't overcharge. You can overcharge if you go to the voters and get two-thirds vote. But without that, you have to charge fees that match your expenses and are projected. The capitalization fees are based on the Boyle report, what needs to be done in the near future, and then in 2020 when the Boyle report went out. And the Boyle report has a schedule of all the types of improvements need to be done, new lift stations, replacement, well, new water lines, new wells, new sewer lines for development, and all that is cranked in, and based on those costs needed to put those systems in, that's what these capacity fees are based on.
Just might want to add maybe just one comment, and it's reflected in my memo to the board, that just recently the district made a lump sum payment on the grant. Almost $1.3 million to pay off the grant, which basically did two things. One is it relieved the residents of the district from continuing to pay interest on bonds. So the district had it. It was before my tenure with the district. That the main source for paying those that bond payments was the connection fees as stated and stipulated to in the grant. So when we made that payment off, to pay the grant off, we lowered the demand for connection fee money. We lowered that demand, and that's the main, I think what Mr. Locke is pointing out, is reported the main recent event that
we no longer needed those funds to put against that.
Exactly.
So that lowers, it requires that we lower the
connection fees.
Does that make sense, Bob?
No, because we've got a three-stage sewer improvement plan. It's going to cost a lot of money.
That's correct.
Okay.
And that's all cranked into the...
And I can't see where you're going to spend $3 or $4 million and lower fees. And then raise the rates to the ratepayers. That, to me, just doesn't make any sense.
But that money wouldn't go against those things.
Wherever the money goes...
You can't use these funds to support O&M.
You show me one district in the whole state of California that's lowering their sewer fees right now.
Did you hear what he said?
I understand what he's saying, but if we paid the bonds off to lose $2 million, it's stupid.
You can keep this fee if you wish, but then you have to go to the voters to justify that fee, and two-thirds of the voters have to pass saying you'll leave that to them. Otherwise, it's the way it is. Otherwise, you're challenged by it. Legally, you can't do it without two-thirds voters. And here, I'll leave the legal aspects of the legal counsel. But you have a financial revenue program in your packet, and basically on the bottom thing, it basically says of the grant program, there's $93,000 per year that has to be paid off. And based on that, and based on the connection, so many connections per year, they come up with persons in the planning design area that were volunteers that had empty property would pay $2,100 for one unit of equipment. And those areas that were not volunteers would pay $3,500 for one unit of equipment. Those monies went into a pool to pay off the bond indebtedness of $92,000 per year. Basically, as legal counsel mentioned, in 1992, we paid off the bond with these fees. And therefore, that obligation dollar-wise to support that payment is gone. The reason that we hired Terry Locke to come in and re-evaluate the district based on its financial obligation, and basically he looked at the Boyle report, and just what you said, Mr. Blair, is all the improvements that we need to put in with new lift stations for sewer proposals, for pumping, new collector system for sewers to drain it in. These are the fees that would be needed to meet that obligation.
Okay.
on capital improvements.
How much revenue is the fee increase going to generate a year? Is that a ballpark figure? Just a water rate, man.
Sure. Water rate.
I come up with around $90,000, something like that. $95,000. One tract of houses, we're going to lose $150,000 just on the sewer.
Okay, this is calculation.
Okay, whatever you call it, you're taking it out of one pocket to put it in the other. You're charging the ratepayers a 25% interest, and you're giving the contractors a free ride. That's the way it pulls out to me. I was a guy that was reading it in the paper, the ratepayer, that's the way I would read it.
Okay, let me take another situation. The district goes to build out. Okay, we don't need any more improvements in our wastewater system. Okay, this would be zero.
But we need to put, what, $3 to $4 million?
No.
New stuff we're putting into the circuit. We're looking at
to build out the wastewater treatment plant, I think 1.2 million.
Yeah.
1.2 million. And this includes that fund, including the new lift stations that we need down the line and the new collector system in the ground for bringing that wastewater to the pump station and those pump stations to the wastewater treatment plant. That's what these things are designed to take place, including the expansion of the wastewater treatment plant. And over and above that, we're going for the state revolving fund loan, which will even put us in a better situation to get that stuff done.
Why wouldn't we want to borrow money from state loans?
I
understand that, but in fees, we're throwing away a $500,000 probably over, or more than that, and we're borrowing $1 million. And from a business standpoint, to me, that doesn't...
Okay, but all we have, the problem is we have to follow the government code.
I understand the government code. But I was looking at it as a ratepayer. I can't see why my rates are going up and somebody else's fees are going down. I think new development should have to pay for a new system. Maybe I'm crazy, but that's the way I look at it.
That's correct, and that's what this is doing. This fee is paying for all the new development. It is not paying for the operation cost of the lease fees. This is operation. This is the capital. These fees, you cannot collect and pull up here.
You know, like Al, I don't think those people in Blackfoot should be paying 3 times as much as anybody else. I may be wrong. I'm going to vote it. I just don't like the whole rate structure. Because down the road, we're going to get into problems with supplemental water. We're going to have to raise people's rates again. You know, I think it's too much of a rate increase. I really do. I don't know what the answer is, but... I know what the answer is. We don't need that much. I don't think we should have a prohibitive rate where people use more.
No, yeah, and that's been taken out.
Right.
Yeah. That was a good move, Joe.
Take flat rate?
Yeah.
Okay, now if you use the flat rate. Okay, the flat rate basically subsidized the high rate, basically. 80% of the people paying a higher rate for 20% of their
people. You probably should table this to a little bit.
It's just information.
Yeah,
it's just information. I mean, the agenda said information. No action by the board. Mr. Perry Locke will be here on the 29th to go over this again with the board, explain the details, why the rates are, is, why you can't commingle capital improvement funds versus operation funds. And with respect to the code sections, and I think Sightseer had given the board a substantial page memo outlining the legal requirements of these fees. And I think you need to read that and absorb it.
For somebody that hasn't read this, the rate survey shows that by comparison, the current rates of the district, or the proposed tiered rate for the district, will be approximately 40% under the units, under the groups using 40 units, will be approximately 55% under 60 units and so on. So this district will have by far the lowest water, the lowest sewer rates.
We presently have the lowest rate, even with the increase with the lowest rate.
That's correct. That's correct.
Lowest rate as far as California is concerned?
Within the community, in the region. We sample Pismo Beach, Rover Beach, Royal Granny, Santa Maria, Templeton, Dow City, San Luis Obispo, Guadalupe, Oceano, CSD, Cambria, CSD, Navajo Water District. Those are the ones we compare with because they're all within this area.
And if you want to go out of this area, I could quote chapter and verse on Westlake Village and Thousand Oaks. They're at least 2.5 times what they say. Yeah.
We have a no-rate policy here in Stowe County, right? So to bring this revenue in depends how much movement you're going to do. If you have no construction going on, you're not going to have any monies coming in.
That's improvement. That's exactly how the rate program is set up. If no construction comes in, then these fees are not connected, and therefore we don't have to build the structure to support it. If they come in, then the fees come in, and we have the money to build the structure. That's how Mr. Perry has designed this whole system. It is well designed, and it's unique in this aspect. A lot of areas don't have this concept of their rate structure. Fixed costs are covered by fixed expenses. Variable costs are covered by variable rates. Your variable rates are your monthly water charge. Okay, they vary based on the amount of water you use. Okay. During the summer, water goes up. Pumping costs go up because you have higher energy costs, more revenue comes in. Wintertime, pumping costs go down, you don't have the power cost, less revenue. So it's related to the variable rates. Your fixed costs down here are based on improvements needed to support those facilities. If you got a lot of people come in, they pay the fees, you can build those facilities. If you don't have a lot of people come in, why build a facility? So that's the principle behind this rate structure.
Yes. John Snyder from Cost, California Limited. I'm a little concerned here that what we're seeing is the two-report shell game. And I've looked at the Boyle Report, and all of these rates are basically based on assuming the Boyle Report is correct. And unfortunately, Doug Jones directed the Boyle Report to be based on this area. And even though they have somewhat split up the recommended improvements of which you're basing these rates on into the existing area and this expanded area, which doesn't seem to correspond to any boundary that I know, either current boundary or the sphere of influence. This is not the sphere of influence, is it?
No.
No. Okay. It's just a really big expanded area that you're charging people now for stuff for this larger area. And for example, I find it very hard to believe that you're putting in three pipes to get maximum bar flow from your storage tanks up here that's required for your existing area, and that when you add all this area, there's not an additional pipe in the budget to get increased bar flow for that expanded area. So what I'm saying is that basically you're kind of doing a double shell game here, and I think what really ought to be happening here is that we ought to be looking extensively at the Boyle Report and really justifying why we have all these expenditures to try to keep the rates down. And I would hope that the public record of minutes like accurately reflects that, as opposed to just being a comment on the Boyle Report. That I think that there's a double shell game here, and that the current ratepayers are being asked to pay for an expanded area that has nothing to do with the current area of the district. Thank you.
I think that's very, very unfair, John. I really do.
Well,
there is no shell game. I'm very capable of following what's going on.